Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one of For the Record program number 761, titled The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, part 7, Why the NSA Should Be Spying on Germany and Its Chancellor. This program is being recorded on November 3rd of the year 2013. We're going to plunge right in to our ongoing analysis of the imbroglio, the international dust-up that has followed the, quote, disclosures, unquote, of Edward Snowden. As I've indicated, the bulk of what has been, quote, disclosed, unquote, publicly anyway, has been known for quite some time, or could be intelligently extrapolated. There does appear to have been, for example, information about the personal lives of both British and American intelligence officers and agents that has been disclosed. That falls into the category of hostile counterintelligence, and that has not been disclosed previously. Beginning next week, we're actually going to go into some of the apparent goals of Snowden's ride, as I have termed it. As I'm speaking on November 3rd of 2013, the news has been dominated for the last couple of weeks in considerable measure by news that the NSA has been spying on Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, as well as a great many other people. As we will see when we analyze a program I'm going to title, They're Shocked, Shocked. This is pretty much standard operating procedure. That is more or less routine spycraft, which in turn is a more or less routine part of statecraft, and other countries do exactly the same thing. We are going to plunge right in here with a post that I originally put up on October 28th of 2013 and updated on October 30th. This post is titled, Memo to Merkel, Get a Grip. And the commentary here reads as follows. With the rhetorical firestorm of faux outrage coming from the EU and Angela Merkel's office over NSA spying, it is important to recall some very important information. Much of what is presented below will be reviewed for veteran listeners and or readers. We call attention to Ernst Urlau, that's spelled capital E-R-N-S-T, last name capital U-H-R-L-A-U, the chief of police in Hamburg during the time period in which German intelligence had taken the Hamburg cell of 9/11 hijackers under surveillance. In 1998, Urlau was appointed special advisor to Chancellor Helmut Kohl on intelligence matters. As we have looked at in numerous programs, there are evidentiary tributaries connecting the First World Trade Center attack, the Oklahoma City bombing, the 9/11 attacks, and other things as well, including, by the way, the AMIA bombing in Argentina. My commentary continues here. The son of Helmut Kohl's chief of staff, Andreas Strassmeier, last name S-T-R-S-S-M-E-I-R, may well have been the mastermind of the Oklahoma City bombing. There is a photograph, by the way, at right, that compares some photographs of Andreas Strassmeier with the composite sketches of John Doe No. 2. Now, John Doe No. 2 has never been officially identified. That is a person whom many witnesses saw in the company of Timothy McVeigh, who was convicted of the Oklahoma City bombings. An undercover ATF informant named Carol Howe testified that Andreas Strassmeier, who was the security coordinator for the Elohim City white supremacist compound in Oklahoma, and by the way, a former German Army intelligence officer, Ms. Howe testified that in fact Andreas Strassmeyer was the real mastermind of the Oklahoma City bombing, and that Timothy McVeigh was something of a protege or foot soldier for Andreas Strassmeyer. Andreas Strassmeyer was the son of Gunter Strassmeyer, who was Helmut Kohl's chief of staff and the architect of German reunification. Gunter Strassmeyer was also the son of one of the charter members of the Nazi Party in Germany under Adolf Hitler. Again, this is radio, so I can't show you the pictures of Andreas Strassmeyer and John Doe number 2. The resemblance is more than a little striking, and when taken in combination with Carol Howe's testimony, it is more than a little compelling that Carol Howe was telling the truth when she stated that Andreas Strassmeyer was the mastermind of the Oklahoma City bombing, and that Timothy McVeigh was his protege. Again, Andreas Strassmeyer was the son of the chief of staff for the Chancellor of Germany, Helmut Kohl. Continuing with my commentary, with Ernst Erlauer, special advisor to Chancellor Kohl on intelligence matters, and with Andreas Strassmeyer apparently having overseen the Oklahoma City bombing plot, there is ample reason to bug the Chancellor's phone and monitor her communications, or in this case, his communications. In 2005, Ernst Urlau, who was chief of the Hamburg police from 1996 through 1998, and who became a special advisor to Chancellor Helmut Kohl on intelligence matters, became head of the BND, German intelligence. I go on to say, it should come as no surprise that the NSA would target Germany as a hotspot for electronic intelligence. An overview of the most important terrorist incidents affecting the United States over the last quarter of a century reveals important evidentiary tributaries leading in the direction of Germany. The bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. In 1988, that the plot was executed in Germany. The bomb was placed aboard the plane in Germany, and the bombers were heavily infiltrated by German intelligence. One or more of the cell of bombers was a German intelligence operative. Parenthetically, there were also, as discussed in AFA number 35, there were profound links to the so-called secret team, Oliver North, and the Iran-Contra players. Continuing. The financing for the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993 came from operatives in Germany. And there are profound links between the Oklahoma City bombing and the first World Trade Center attack and the 9/11 attacks, as discussed in, among other shows, For the Record 330. By the way, some of the same elements loom large in the Boston Marathon bombing from April of 2013, when we cover that incident, which we are going to do in the future broadcast, and that I have done in a number of posts already that are in the news and supplemental section on the SpitfireList.com website, we will review some of those elements. And some of the elements also are directly connected to the milieu of the 9/11 attacks as well. People who would like to get a head start on that, again, I am recovering from a serious illness. I'm in great shape. If the slight speech impediment is due to the fact that I had 15 hours of surgery, and I'm still awaiting some partial dentures. If you want to get a head start on the writing that I have been doing, go to the news and supplemental section and feast away, because there is a ton of information. I will be getting much of that into broadcasts that will be forthcoming. Now, continuing with the commentary from Memo to Merkel, Get a Grip, a post I did on October 28th of 2013 and that I updated on October 30th. The actual mastermind of the Oklahoma City bombing, according to ATF informant Carol Howe, was Andreas Strassmeyer. Strassmeyer was a former Bundeswehr officer and the son of Chancellor Helmut Kohl's chief of staff. Andreas's grandfather was one of the charter members of the NSDAP under Hitler. The resemblance between Strassmeyer and John Doe No. 2 is striking. Not only did the 9/11 hijack conspirators coalesce in Hamburg, Germany, but there is strong evidence that German intelligence was involved with the 9/11 attacks. Many of hijacker Mohammed Atta's associates in South Florida were Germans. Atta was moved around under the cover of the Carl Duisberg Society, or Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft. In Florida, he was associating with the sons and daughters of prominent German industrialists. Of interest also is the fact that CIA pilots apparently made a, quote, run, unquote, to the Borman Ranch in Latin America. This sounds like it was a regular route. In our conversations with Daniel Hopsicker, we have noted that the South Florida aviation milieu through which Mohammed Atta and associates infiltrated the United States had been a focal point of covert operations for decades, dating back to the Second World War. The Borman Ranch was in the Three Borders area, highlighted in For the Record number 457. Did the German associates of Mohammed Atta come up the other end of that pipeline? And again, in many of our talks with Daniel Hopsicker, we have talked about the fact that Atta and associates came into the United States through one of the many protected drug smuggling routes and operations run by elements of intelligence, probably some element of CIA. By the way, Jeb Bush is already having his name floated as a possible presidential candidate for the GOP in 2016. He was sitting atop this particular unsavory nest while these eggs were being hatched and appears to have played a role in covering up these very same connections. It should come as no surprise to see someone named Bush covering up intelligence community drug smuggling in Florida. Continuing with this commentary, there are numerous evidentiary tributaries between the First World Trade Center attack, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the 9/11 attacks, as I have already stated. Those are detailed in For the Record 330. There will be a link in the written description for this program. The vacuum cleaner activities of the NSA and GCHQ, that's the British counterpart to the NSA with which NSA works, have been known for a long time. We have done programs about it dating back many years. The formal public attack on the Echelon network began in 1998. That attack came from Germany and underground Reich-associated elements such as the Free Congress Foundation. In August of 1998, several things happened almost simultaneously. As the German EU Free Congress Foundation underground Reich attack on Echelon and Menworth Hill was gaining momentum, Osama bin Laden stopped using his cell phone and began using couriers for important communication. At this time, German intelligence had the Hamburg cell of 9/11 hijackers under electronic surveillance. There is no evidence that German intelligence alerted the United States. The chief of the Hamburg police in this precise time was the aforementioned Ernst Erlau. In 1998, again a key year, Erlau was appointed special advisor to the Chancellor of Germany on intelligence matters. Again, the Chancellor at that time was Helmut Kohl. Kohl's chief of staff was Günter Strassmayr, the father of the aforementioned Andreas Strassmayr. In 2005, as we have mentioned, Ernst Erlau was appointed head of the BND. In an update, we learned that Germany is threatening to suspend the SWIFT agreement, allowing the U.S. to track bank transfer data used to monitor the flow of terrorist money. The German Justice Minister said she fears the program is used to gather economic intelligence. Noting the relationship between the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft and German corporations, and the relationship between German corporations and the Borman Capital Network, it isn't much of a reach to extrapolate that the aforementioned Borman Capital Network is a focal point of that intelligence gathering. Mohammed Atta studied German at the Goethe Institute, which is widely used as a front for the BND. By the way, the BND is a German Foreign Intelligence Service successor organization to the Reinhard-Gehlen spy outfit, about which I have spoken for decades. That institution, by the way, BND, reports directly to the German Chancellor. Continuing, a fascinating and important detail concerning the hijackers is the fact that Yaslam bin Laden's SECO subsidiary trained its pilots at Rudy Decker's Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida. Huffman is the school at which Atta and company were, quote, trained, unquote. Although he denies it, there are profound indications that Yaslam bin Laden and SECO are actually involved with the activities of Al-Qaeda. This subject will be dealt with at greater length below. Note that there are numerous connections between the milieu of Huffman Aviation and the Iran-Contra-connected drug smuggling routes. Recall that SECO personnel were involved with some of these Iran-Contra drug routes. The co-chairman of the board of directors of SECO is Baudin Dunant, a friend and professional associate of François Genoux. He was also an attorney for François Genoux. By the way, parenthetically, François Genoux was a key Nazi banker and intelligence operative. He was the heir to the collected literary works and the political last will and testament of Adolf Hitler, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Goebbels. So he was a very profound individual indeed. Continuing with my commentary. Reprising an item of discussion from For the Record 357, the program cites the opinion of Ernest Backes, one of Europe's foremost experts on money laundering, concerning the role of the aforementioned François Genoux in the development of the events of 9/11. Genoux, who committed suicide in 1996, was very close to Al-Taqwa personages, especially Ahmed Huber. Bank Al-Taqwa appears to have played a significant role in the financing of Al-Qaeda's activities, as well as those of Hamas. According to Backes, Genoux was also a financial advisor to the bin Laden family. Parenthetically, I would note that the bin Laden family were also business partners with the Bush family. I would also note that there was an account in the bank Al-Taqwa with an unlimited line of credit run by a guy named Ali bin Musalim. He was found dead in his Geneva, Switzerland apartment a month after that became public, and he had been under indictment in the U.S. since 1983 for conspiring to corner the silver market, which places him in direct conspiratorial proximity to Nelson Bunker Hunt of the famous right-wing Texas oil family of H.L. Hunt. Continuing. It is important in this context to review the Clearstream financial network. The connecting links between Clearstream Al-Taqwa, the Banco del Gotardo, formerly the Swiss branch of the Banco Ambrosiano, and bin Laden, were further described by one of Clearstream's founders, the aforementioned Ernest Backes. Note the opening of 16 unregistered accounts by SECO in the spring of 2001. Is there a relationship between the liquidation of the financial entities in early 2001 by Carlos Rocha, Baudin Dunant, and Willard Zucker, and the opening of the Clearstream accounts at approximately the same time? By the way, Clearstream is run by the Deutsche Börse, which in turn is owned by the major German banks, which in turn are controlled, of course, by the Bormann Capital Network, about which I have spoken so often, and which is set forth in a book available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website. That book was authored by Paul Manning, one of Edward R. Murrow's proteges. He undertook his investigation with the encouragement of Edward R. Murrow. His research was financed by CBS News, which would not, in the end, touch the story with a 10-foot pole. Now, I realize that that is quite a bit to absorb. What I'm going to do now is to stretch out and read excerpts that are directly apposite to the commentary that I just read. And again, all of this is included in a post that is available. Actually, it will be included in the description for this program. It is available in the news and supplemental section. It's called Memo to Merkel, Get a Grip. And for some of the information that I have spoken about, for the record 456 and for the record 498 and 499. This first article is an excerpt from Der Spiegel of October 27th of 2013, an article by the Spiegel staff titled Embassy Espionage, the NSA's Secret Spy Hub in Berlin, and an excerpt is more than a little interesting. Former NSA employee Thomas Drake, D-R-A-K-E, does not see this as a contradiction, talking about American NSA spying on Germany. Quote, this is quoting Thomas Drake, after the attacks of September 11th, 2001, Germany became intelligence target number one in Europe, he says. The U.S. government did not trust Germany because some of the September 11th suicide pilots had lived in Hamburg. Now, next, we have been speaking about Ernst Erlau. Again, first name capital E-R-N-S-T, last name capital U-H-R-L-A-U. From the entry in Wikipedia about Ernst Erlau, we read the following. And the timing here is critical. From 1996 to 1998, Ernst Erlau was the chief of Hamburg's police department. In 1998, Erlau was appointed as a coordinator of the intelligence community in the office of the chancellor. Again, that chancellor at the time was Helmut Kohl. Note that the apparent bugging of Angela Merkel's phone began in 2002. That was the following year. She was already seen as a rising star in the CDU. Continuing with Ernst Erlau's Wikipedia entry, on December 1st of 2005, Ernst Erlau was appointed to the post of the head of the BND, again, German Foreign Intelligence, successor organization to the Reinhard-Gehlen spy outfit, reports directly to the German chancellor. Now, this is an excerpt from the New York Times of January 18th of 2003. It's by Desmond Butler, headlined, Germans were tracking September 11th conspirators as early as 1998. It actually, as we will see, began in 1997. 1998 was when the chief of the Hamburg police, Ernst Erlau, was appointed as the special coordinator of the intelligence community in the office of Chancellor Helmut Kohl. He then became head of BND in 2005. Again, New York Times, 1/18/2003 by Desmond Butler. Germans were tracking September 11th conspirators as early as 1998. Reads in part, 3 years before the September 11th attacks, Germany's domestic intelligence service was tracking prominent members of the Hamburg terrorist cell that planned and executed the aircraft hijackings, according to newly obtained documents. These documents, including intelligence reports, surveillance logs, and transcripts of intercepted telephone calls, appear to contradict public claims by the German authorities that they knew little about the members of the Hamburg cell before the attacks. As early as 1998, the records show, the Germans monitored a meeting between men suspected of plotting the attacks. The surveillance would lead a year later to the Hamburg apartment where Mohammed Atta and other main plotters were living while attending universities. While the records do not indicate that authorities heard any mention of a specific plan, they depict a surveillance mission extensive enough to raise anew the politically sensitive question of whether the Germans missed a chance to disrupt the cell during the initial stages of planning the attacks. Some American investigators and officials have argued that the Germans in the past missed evidence that could have stopped the plot. The Germans have maintained steadfastly that the information they had was too scanty to warrant serious alarm, and that their police and intelligence agencies were not focused on Al-Qaeda at the time. The documents come from the files of various German police and intelligence agencies. They detail how close an investigation of Qaeda contacts in Hamburg began in 1997 by the Constitutional Protection Agency. By the way, that is the Verfassungsschutz. Beginning again, they detail how close an investigation of Qaeda contacts in Hamburg began in 1997 by the Constitutional Protection Agency. Germany's Domestic Intelligence Service came to the main cell members. They were provided to the New York Times by someone with official access to the files of the continuing investigation into the events leading to the September 11th attacks. When the documents were described to officials at the German Interior Ministry and the Constitutional Protection Police, they declined to answer any questions about them, but did not dispute their authenticity. Skipping down, the reference here is to Mohammed Motesadeg, one of Mohammed Atta's associates. Motesadeg, Motesadeg. Continuing. Mr. Motesadeg admitted that he knew Mr. Atta and other plotters and had attended Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan. He has maintained in trial testimony that he did not know that his friends were planning to attack the United States. No evidence has been presented at his three-month trial that would reveal when the police first opened an inquiry into Mr. Motesadeg. By the way, the head of the police at the time, Ernst Urlau. But the intelligence agency documents show that by August of 1998, he was under surveillance and that the trail soon led to most of the main participants in the later attacks. Parenthetically, I note, it was in August of 1998 that President Clinton ordered the cruise missile strike against bin Laden, and the same month that Osama bin Laden went to a courier system instead of using his cell phone. Note also again that the head of the Hamburg police at this time, at the time that the surveillance of the Hamburg cell was in place, became head of the BND in 2005, 1998. He was appointed coordinator for intelligence matters for the chancellor. According to the documents, the surveillance was in place by August 29th of 1998 when Mr. Motesadeg and Mohammed Haidar Zamar, who had already been identified by police as a suspected extremist, met at the Hamburg home of Syed Bahavi, one of the hijackers. The police monitored several other meetings between the men in the months that followed, the documents said. The record of the meetings shows that police have identified Mr. Bahavi, another person suspected of being a cell member and believed to have been intimately involved in the planning and logistics of the plot, who fled to Pakistan days before the attacks. Mr. Bahavi later moved in with Mr. Atta and Ramzi bin al-Shib in the now infamous apartment at 54 Marienstrasse in the Hamburg section of Hamburg. And inside, too, we're going to take a look at indications that actually BND or elements thereof were helping to run Mohammed Atta. However, we are all out of time in Side 1. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 761, The Adventures of Eddie the Spook, Part 7, Why the NSA Should Be Spying on Germany and Its Chancellor, being recorded on November 3rd of the year 2013. My name's Dave Emery. Ciao.